if we could actually hire the Midweek Drive jet for the time, July 27th, the place to be, clearly Los Angeles, not just because Charlotte Fortune's over there with Phil the Anderson Company, but primarily because it's the Summer of Sound continuing with moving pictures featuring groundbreaking cellist Matt Heimowitz and actress Wendy Malick, and a fresh take on motion picture scores by Elmer Bernstein, Jerry Goldsmith and Eric Korngold. And I suspect there might just be a little touch of Vangelis Papathanasiou coming in there as well, a lady who is the artistic director for Musique and indeed has, in the words of Michelle Monroe, done so much. It's just basically the word phenomenal is quite rightly used regularly to describe the truly amazingly talented soul who is artistic director of Musique, Rachel Warby. Good morning. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
We're splendid and delighted to connect with you once again from, of course, the wonderful world of Musique in Pasadena and so on, because it's presumably the rehearsals are now all sorted and ready to actually launch in full force, really, for this grand event.
Indeed, Matt Heimowitz is in Los Angeles and en route to Pasadena. And we begin working together this afternoon, visiting the residential foster care treatment facilities with which Musique is connected. And Matt and I are going to be sort of bringing the intimacy of live music into those lives for several hours today. Then we'll go back to my flat and begin working through the five scores that he will be playing with us in earnest.
Mm. Now, I notice also we've got Peter Golub, who's also there, a prolific composer for films and theatre, director of Sundance's film music programme, and Bach and Beethoven as well. It's nice to know you've got some of the old-timers in there, which is always good.
I don't know along the way since you've received the original press release what happened to Bach and Beethoven, but they're no longer
with us. Well, let's face it, they're decomposing. Sorry, I couldn't resist it, Rachel. It's an old line. Anyway, also in the studio, we have Kaylee Carr, who's finally a journalism student from the University of Teesside. Kaylee is classical music, Kaylee, or just music? I mean, I know you're into fashion, but music? What is it?
Yeah, more like chart music, rather.
Chart music. Yeah. Classical chart music. Okay.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have Ed Wellman, classically trained and a person who can always identify perfect pitch, even when they have to be in the quiet room because they've spoken too much. I don't know. Mark just popped his head around the corner and said, he's in the quiet room with a curly
good
head.
Good old Mark.
So,
yeah, that's the one.
Amazing. Korngold, composer who I think in many ways is underestimated in terms of the qualities actually put together, and whether it's the adventures of Robin Hood or whether it's a case of his other scenarios that he puts together. I mean, please, so presumably Eric Korngold is still featured in this together with Jerry Goldsmith and company.
Oh yes. You know, Korngold is a composer whose music I have long admired. He's really the founding father of music for film. Mm. And, you know, while Korngold was still on this planet, everyone was enamored of him, from Strauss to Puccini. Mahler once called him a musical genius. And I think that in every respect, Korngold represents for me the ideal, because he was a pioneer and a revolutionary as a musician, as a composer, and as a man. And his film Deception, as you know, is stars Betty Davis and her eyes. Betty Davis eyes.
Nice. See what you did there? Yeah, Kim Carnes moment. Very good. Yeah.
But it's the story of a conductor and a cellist, and a piece of music that the cellist is playing as a concerto with an orchestra. And Betty Davis, of course, is in a relationship with both the cellist and the conductor. And the piece that the conductor is working on with the cellist is a concerto in the film, a fictional composer, but it actually is the Korngold Cello Concerto.
Mm. which I like. I mean, so, I must say, it's one of those I was tempted to actually bring on board as again, a musical choice. And obviously, last time you stunned the world by going down the line of Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody, which is quite interesting.
Yes.
Still the resonance is coming back from our podcast over that particular aspect. So there we are. So I've decided to actually go for two Eric Korngold compositions here. In terms of ways forward, both of which have their appeal, both of which have their charm. One of which is the Military March in B flat major, which of course Korngold was there with Matthias Bammert there. And the other one is, bearing in mind one of the founding fathers of so much classic film music, of which, I mean, is it fair to say, Rachel, that probably John Williams and company heavily influenced by the likes of Korngold's approach to his sort of epic cinematic scenes?
Absolutely. In fact, we're following the Korngold with John Williams' score from Jane Eyre, which is one of his oldest scores from the years when he was still called Johnny Williams, in fact. As it says on the early quote sheet music for this orchestration. But there is no question that John Williams is nurtured and born out of the womb of Eric Korngold. Not like many others, but nobody has a palate as close to Korngold's as does John Williams.
I would say so. I seem to recall when he was Johnny Williams, he did the theme for Owen Allen's series Land of the Giants, but that's another entirely different thing. It's a different world.
Taking yourself, darling. As
we frequently said, you know, we know that the Boer War happened. We weren't around at the time. You know, it's critical. You know, historical.
Even I know the Boer War happened.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know,
we've seen it in the movies.
Exactly. This is it. So the other choice, as I say, first choice, Military March in B flat major. The alternative is The Adventures of Robin Hood and His Merry Men. Where are you gonna go?
No question. Adventures of Robin Hood and His Merry Men.
Stay with us. We'll be back with you to talk more about the grand event and more after Korngold. Tempted to do a bit of thigh slapping in the middle of that, but in the end I decided to actually send a friend request to Rachel on her Facebook page, because we like you, Rachel, so there we are.
Thank you.
It's very important and critical that we do that. Social media mixed with Korngold, fantastic. Ed Wellman, what did you make of Korngold's Adventures of Robin Hood?
Absolutely wonderful. You feel the music washing over you. It reminds me rather of film music by Nigel Hess. I don't know if you know that, Rachel Warby.
I do indeed. Indeed, yes. Born of the same school. Same vocabulary.
Very descriptive, isn't it?
Yes. Descriptive, lush, romantic, fearless use of orchestration.
Yeah.
In many ways, inspired, unexpected, connecting master artists with new voices. It could almost be that Korngold actually had music in mind when he was producing the whole thing.
Wouldn't that have been lovely? Or wouldn't that be lovely if it were the truth?
Listen, dimensional travel being what it is, you worked with Carl Sagan, all things are possible in the universe. It's a whole range of things.
Exactly.
So, weather in Pasadena? I mean, we've had some thunderstorms over in Britain recently, but the sun has still been shining. How is it in Pasadena? Is it a case of...
The sun always shines in Southern California. It never rains.
But when it rains, California. It pours. Man, it pours. We could actually go into a whole routine for it from that perspective.
Yes.
Kaylee, any questions for Rachel that you want to think about? Because in terms of music, theme music and such like, or indeed just connecting, because I think one of the most important things is how you actually use music to really open up a whole range of things. I'll ask this question whilst you're thinking about that. Whether, from a cultural point of view, Rachel, whether you're working in Brazil with the Brazilian Symphony Orchestra, the Bucharest Philharmonic Orchestra, the Irish Chamber Orchestra, the Manchester Camerata, is music that universal language? We often hear about, we should have Afrikaans, so we should actually sort of make English the universal language, or Spanish or such like. Is it ultimately music that kind of brings us all together as a human race?
You know, question. I don't want to answer in a trite fashion, and so I would say this: live music, when presented in a transparent fashion with honesty and passion, in fact, is the universal. But I think just to imagine that all music at any time is a universal language is to do both the human race and the art form of distrust and injustice. I mean, yes, when music is, I could put Matt Heimovitz playing the prelude from the first cello suite in any village square anywhere on the planet, and because everywhere Matt Heimovitz is, whether it is in a pasture for sheep or a village square or on the lip of the stage of Carnegie Hall, he plays from his heart. The music would translate and it would become a universally beloved moment for everybody. But I think it's unique to the artists who are devoting their lives to making the music.
I think I can go along with that. Ed, do you think that resonates?
Absolutely, yes. Totally, totally. We were just talking off air about how important it is that music sometimes speaks when language struggles a little bit.
Kayla,
yes, and even when I've conducted in countries where I've spoken a bit, you know, I know enough Romanian, and then sometimes when I want to say something truly passionate, as I did about Bernstein's Chichester Psalms, and I was speaking in Romanian, and I looked at them and I said, may I say something in English? And they all said to me, yes. And this is an audience full of people, not in Bucharest, mind you, but in Cluj, where I'm sure English was, you know, a tenth language. But because I was working and expressing passion, suddenly they could understand English, let alone understand the Chichester Psalms and the Hebrew.
Works well. Kaylee, your question.
Yeah.
I've just got a lovely phrase that I know, which we've just been discussing as well. When words fail, music speaks. Just want to know whether you agree with that.
I absolutely agree with that. In fact, I think when everything fails, music speaks. I've worked with specifically to that quote and taking it quite literally. I, many decades ago, worked with kids in a place called the Fernald State School. These were babies and infants and young toddlers who were crib cases. They would never in their entire lives emerge from their cribs, whether they were hydrocephalic or a variety of different ailments, and they never spoke. But I would go to them with a simple recorder and play Amazing Grace, and they would smile and their eyes would light up and they would move their heads, and I would have doctors and nurses standing around me saying, this is a corporeal being that never moves, except when you come in, the head will turn towards the music. So, yes.
I think that says it all in every sense of the word, which is great stuff. As ever, Rachel, you've provided inspiration, forethought, foresight, and indeed a whole range of sort of fascinating things on that whole system. Let's plug the concert once again, because obviously it is happening July the 27th, 7:30 p.m, Moving Pictures, with groundbreaking cellist Matt Heimowitz. That doesn't mean he's using a pneumatic drill, just in case people are confused. It's literally break the ground there. Actress Wendy Malick, of course, and American Idol fourth place finalist in season 8. That's what I call precision. Alison Iraheta, who'll be providing a fresh take on motion picture scores by Elmer Bernstein, Jerry Goldsmith and Eric Korngold, as well as, we mentioned, a world premiere of a work by Peter Golub. Tickets presumably still available for this, or is it a case of going online?
Indeed, they are. From there?
Excellent. Well, we'll hopefully send a couple of our Los Angeles correspondents over to check that one out, including Charlotte Fortunes, etc. And then don't get me started on the excitement of August the 17th and 7:30s, Lose Your Senses with Ellis Hall. That's almost when you reach the stage, you think, good heavens, here we are. We still haven't started talking about your time as First Lady of West Virginia. But we need to ask those last two questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today, Rachel Warby?
It's been great fun again. My pleasure to always talk to you, because you're so informed, and the questions you ask and the questions your colleagues ask and the insights they provide are inspirational to me. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate that, Rachel, because, Ed, I know you thought the pressure after, you know, the Rachel's very kind comments the last one, pressure for that difficult second album, difficult second interview. We thought
to do it twice was going to be a tough call.
Critical. So yeah. Next question from yourself, Ed, please.
Can we look forward to connecting with you again soon, please, Rachel?
It would be tremendous fun to talk to you about Ellis Hall and soul music and R&B.
I think that's where we're heading. Soul music, rhythm, blues, right. Ray Charles, Marvin Gaye. Very shortly, round of applause, please, for Rachel Warby.
Rachel Warby.
Fantastic.
Thanks a million.
Manuel, a happy place. Well, after all that excitement of a triple Los Angeles whammy, Ed, any success with respect to that one whatsoever?
A very clear
voice.
Dialing tone and answer phone, to no avail,
unfortunately. Voicemail message box not set up. Charlotte, we've tried. We've tried three times now without any success. Do you know what? As we're sort of running through this whole thing, shall we go to Phil Dennis? I mean, I think it's only right that we do from that sort of perspective. So let's check that we don't get the sorry, there is a fault message on this particular side of things. Otherwise, you know, we'll begin to sort of get a little bit irritated. You're listening to The Midweek Drive here on Siren 107.3 FM. And Kayleigh, are you enjoying the whole sequence so far?
Yes, I am, definitely.
That's what we like to hear. It's good stuff as far as that's concerned. So, yeah, well, this is sounding good. I mean, just as we're waiting for Phil to actually say hello, Phil here, it's always going to be nice as he picks up. Director or truth seeker? What do you think? Director or truth seeker?
This is Phil.
Yeah. You see, Phil here. This is it. So, what is it going to be, Kayleigh? You know, give us the choice. Director. It's going to be director. Right, that's fair enough. You say director, and that's what the lady gets.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voice-over artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonard!
Of course, you know what it is. It's Penny Evans actually sort of putting the woof on us, you know, because we haven't actually played Lorelei's yet. I know, that's... She said, you can bump Charlotte Fortune off the show to actually just bring us a bit of Lorelei. Yeah, well, it may happen. I don't know. Anyway, good morning, Phil Leonis. Are we well?
We are well. We are active, involved in multiple projects at the same time. Never before has that question, director or truth seeker, been more relevant than right now, as I both prepare to direct The Lady Killers and find myself, of course, fully the truth seeker, especially this weekend at ParanoiaCon in San Diego, where I was listed as apparently one of the 10 most interesting truth seekers in the world.
Yeah, I think so. Now, whereabouts, so you say one of
the 10. Let me tell you this just really quickly. That is a calendar, the most interesting truth seekers in the world, that you do not want to see.
Okay, right, I see where we're going on this one. But, you know, he's seeking after the truth. This is important. Phil, have you managed to catch the show so far today?
I have heard, I would believe, the past hour of it. I missed Mr. Tilbury, and I think the first guest thereafter. But I have heard the last hour.
So you've caught Suzanne Watkins, the wondrous world of Hayley Tamadon, Michelle Monroe, Rachel Warby, and our unsuccessful attempts to actually connect with Charlotte Fortune, who sent me an email saying she's waiting by the phone. Well, is it the right phone number that you've actually provided for us, Charlotte? I mean, you know, that's somewhat sorry. But would you like us to play a smidgen, little int, of what Penny Evans did live in Buxton recently? It is her interpretation of Lorelei with tambourine in full force, as evidenced on a YouTube video recently, to kind of set us up. I mean, it's Kaylee's first show back in the Midweek Drive studios in Lincoln. By the way, Kaylee, are you getting sufficient inspiration here for actually becoming, you know, the author of the fan site website for the Midweek Drive?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
I'm saying, are you a fan of the Midweek Drive? Because, you know, are you going to be the author?
Yeah. I like being a part of it as well, even though it's only my second time, but yeah. I'd like to do it more often. Definitely.
Nice. We go with that. So, what do you think, Ed? Because this would be critical from your own point of view. Penny Evans and Laurie Light. It's 3:17.
Well, of course, I'm biased because I've already seen it.
Nice.
I've seen it with the tambourine.
Oh, yeah.
But I think for the great listeners of Siren 107.3.
My green tambourine. Sorry, I was having a lemon pie.
And the Leerness Meister really does need to hear this, I think.
Of course. I mean, I have two ears and a heart, so how could I not want to hear it?
Sorry, I'm just distracted there by a moment by Charlotte Fortune, who has actually just said, "Signal is very, very bad up here." Question mark. Try again. Question
Shall
mark.
You play the Penny Evans, and I'll leave the room.
Yeah. Now, please. What would Katie Grimerson say? This is what Penny would say. Go, Penny, go. I'm so exhausted by that, I've had to put down my maypole leaf and sticks and stop dancing. But it was imaginative, wasn't it, Ed?
It was, and that's why the webcam has been off today, because we really wanted to express ourselves.
I'd be hopping up and down like the proverbial...
But Penny, we love you, so it's good.
I do, exactly. Katie Grimerson's listening. Hi, Katie! And Charlotte Fortune is in the Hollywood Hills, which is where the phone signal is probably very bad.
Hopefully. I did try again from the office phone this time.
Has she spoken to you, Phil? Have you arranged her to come on to Chilpack Hollywood?
No, I mean, she's reached out to me, and I have met her with silence.
Nice. You see, that's not in the
spirit. I could have lied. I mean, I could have made up this whole story about how I've been trying to reach her, but her reception
she's
is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have made up that story, but no, I'm just honest about it. You know what's fantastic is that you referenced the getting up and dancing around the maypole. That actually... I'm not lying about it. As you can tell, in by virtue of making myself look terrible by admitting that I hadn't even responded to an email from Charlotte, I'm telling you nothing but the truth because, of course, I am a truth seeker.
Yes.
That's the first time in now, almost 2 years, more than 2 years of doing the Midweek Drive, that I have actually got up and danced during a song. I really did.
Yeah, you said exactly. And Kaylee had to be physically restrained because she was jumping up and down like there's nobody's business
trying to leave.
One Direction, eat your heart out, is what I can say.
No.
Success and success again. Now, well done. That's good. And Penny will be hopefully joining us on the show in the not-too-distant future, probably back end of August.
But listen, we are going to hook up with Charlotte, so if she's listening, she'll know. We are planning to do that. I don't think it would happen. Maybe it would happen on the Chilpack Hollywood Hour this next week, but certainly we'll bring her to set on the Lady Killers and have her do some audio postcard recording for the Midweek Drive.
Exactly. That's the whole purpose, because hopefully she'll become Ilana Ray next week, gets her way over to the desert, and she'll be joining us from the desert, when, of course, we also have Annette Andre and Arthur Weingarten and Peter Franklin, who said, are you no longer friends with us in New York? Or I said, Peter, it's all right, you're on the show. Don't worry, Peter's back with us next Wednesday as well. So it's splendid stuff in every sense of the word. Anyway, it is time, Kaylee, as you'll be aware when you're putting the fan site together, that the Linus viewpoint, critical in terms of how we kind of go off after the show to avail ourselves of, you know, tea, water, mineral water, discuss various other bits and pieces, say, will we ever invite so-and-so on the show again? No. You know, so you lied then when you asked those last two questions. Yes. Anything from that point of view. Anyway, Phil, how's it been? Where are the nuggets you're going to draw out of the...
Wait a minute, really? You're going to ask me about... I've just come back from a thing called ParanoiaCon.
Yes, yes.
I came back from Comic-Con. Yeah. How many guests on the show have talked to you about Comic-Con, about the hot breaking news in the world of show business, and you want me to talk about what people... have already heard.
I like that. That's what we like about you, Phil, because ultimately Karen Gillan is going to be the villainess in Guardians of the Galaxy. She's already shaved her hair, which is fantastic in an interesting way. So what are you going to do? I mean, what do you want? Ed, Comic-Con, the biggest event of its kind in the galaxy, possibly, or ParanoiaCon, or just Linus Views on the show, or, you know, we got 900 seconds. Fit in all sorts of things, really.
900 seconds. You know, I did this little bit of maths myself the other day to check out whether you were right when you said that, and you are.
Yeah.
So 900 seconds. It sounds... Of course I'm right. Yeah, General Leonis reflections,
is the
please,
Prince of Cambridge named George?
Apparently.
Okay, the two stories that I have to share with you, you know, in case you weren't aware of them about Comic-Con, because I think these will be of great enjoyment. First of all, the X-Files, which was a television series that my producing and podcast partner Dean Haglund was on for 9 years, and, of course, from which he had a spinoff series called The Lone Gunman. There is a 10th season of the X-Files that has just started to be released into comic book form. And in issue two of this comic book, the Lone Gunman, who supposedly were killed in a 9th season episode of the X-Files, they're on the cover. And so Dean was invited, as much a surprise to everyone, to moderate a panel about these comic books. And on that panel were the likes of Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files, and Gillian Anderson. And Dean would not let go of the question of asking Chris Carter over and over again, holding his feet to the fire, pinning him down, saying, are these comic books canon? Are they official mythology? Is this officially an extension of the story? And finally he got Chris Carter to admit that they are, and which, of course, as Dean exclaimed in front of a delighted audience, that means the Lone Gunmen are alive again. So that was really fun, and I think those panel discussions are available on video. So people should definitely check them out. YouTube them.
I think so, and also through our good friends at SFX Magazine. So fantastic stuff there. Good. Excellent. Celebrate.
The other thing that I really wanted to share with you, if I could, very funny, is the show Breaking Bad popular there in the United Kingdom?
It is, but I'm not sure whether it would actually be on Kaylee's radar. Breaking Bad? Teesside University student, what can we say? That's from Sunderland. Breaking Bad, Ed, pointless question. You still haven't got around to watching Lawrence of Arabia.
I knew that was going to come
up. I enjoy it.
I knew that
it's a good show.
Yeah, well, this is generally considered, you know, one of the two or three best dramas that the United States has ever produced, and it's going to be coming to a conclusion this summer. And anyway, it was really funny because someone was walking around in a mask of one of the lead characters all weekend long, and no one bothered to stop and talk to this man who was wearing the mask of the lead character. And then there was the Breaking Bad panel, and this man went up on the panel and removed the mask, and it turned out that it was, in fact, the actor who plays that character, walking around with that mask all weekend, mingling with people, and nobody bothered to really talk to him and find out that they were rubbing shoulders with the star of the best show on television.
Something we'll be talking about.
And
with
that's Comic-Con.
Exactly.
That's the magic of Comic-Con. You really don't know, you know, who you're bumping into, literally.
I just feel once again we've missed a trick insofar as I suspect we should have reminded you, Phil, to obviously take that Southside Broadcasting green apple and get some wonderful shots of the whole thing with the whole system there, because that's nice. But, you know, we'll follow that through. A reminder, tomorrow morning, Penny Mansfield and Dr. Simon Moore will be talking about post-baby relationship stresses. William Sitwell will be with us. Dan Stevenson's got a classic original from Herb Miller's Bugle Boy conglomeration, Herb Miller actually performing, and Sophia Back, otherwise known as Sophia Shoshanovich, will be talking about fashion blogging and such like stuff. That's at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Richard Fitzwilliam's obviously latest royal baby news, of course, with respect to the Prince of Cambridge, Prince George of Cambridge these days, Prince George Alexander Louis.
Correct.
Nice. After Mountbatten, of course, the Louis. And Ian Lennox with more Gentlemen and Players. And Minty Steed will squeeze in a few bits and pieces with respect to Countryside updates. Although we have to acknowledge the sad news that sadly the Chihuahua has passed away. The Chihuahua has gone to heaven. Angel the Chihuahua is no more. If people want to actually find out more about Minty's thoughts on Angel the Chihuahua, we'll be putting it up as a special podcast on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, which you can go to, hopefully, via this show. Sorry, Phil, a bit of public announcements there, but I know, being a keen cat lover, if Angel the Chihuahua has actually moved to the next generation, it's an important one.
My favorite tweet in the aftermath of the royal birth was from a woman who tweeted, Kate Middleton's baby is already on his way to becoming king. What has your stupid baby done today?
There you are. But it's not a competition, because let's face it, Phil, the majority, if not all, of the press hounds who are actually outside the palace and outside the hospital itself will probably not be alive when the Prince of Cambridge actually ascends to the throne, unless, of course, changes occur, because who knows? Life's like that. I mean, exactly.
It is stunning, though. Lily, for example, was inundated. Lily Holloman was inundated with texts from people exclaiming, it's a boy!
Yeah.
And she didn't even know to what they were referring.
Exactly.
And it is astonishing how many people here in the United States really care.
Yeah.
And we're like celebrating. It's very strange.
Strange.
I almost feel like it was a bigger deal here than it was there.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, after all, his grandmother was, of course, Diana, Princess of Wales and Queen of all American hearts. Anyway, apart from that, let us progress onwards. Anything else that's caught your ear or eye that you'd like to share with us from paranoia.com or indeed the excitement? Did you hook up with Ethan Dettenmeyer, basically? Because it's been a long time since we tried to reach Ethan, and hopefully he'll be joining us in the not-too-distant future. But did all Ethan stuff go well?
No, I have been absolutely unable for a week, despite numerous attempts on my part to reach Ethan. It's I've exchanged many pleasantries with his lovely wife, but can't reach Ethan at all. And so I don't. Other than calling into his show, I don't know exactly how one does that.
It's difficult.
Oh, but Alex, oh my goodness, the news that I have not shared with you that actually involves Chilpack Hollywood Hour, the free weekly podcast I've been doing for 7 years with Dean Haglund at ChilpackHollywood.com, along with our friend Mark Hershon, who hosts the wonderful podcast Succotash.
Yep.
We are starting our own podcast network. And having a big conference call tonight. This is not something that we'll launch in the next few days, but certainly relatively soon, we will be streaming live 24/7, a whole wide range of shows. Mm-hmm. And one of the shows in conversation in our meetings that we've talked about wanting to do is do a special podcast version of Midweek Drive entertainment interviews.
I'm just filling up. A little tear has just emerged in my eye, and we're just thinking, yes, finally, Ed, our moment might arrive. We shall go to the ball.
No, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Ed's actually getting his own show.
Yes, we are. Yes, well, he already has his own show as far as Siren's concerned. It's called The Cone Zone. We say it quite frequently and get the whole message across there. Right, so there we are. Isn't that exciting,
Yeah.
So what were we doing? Accessing our podcasts and Podbeans and streaming them? I mean, you know, we can obviously, you know, it's available for yourself, free to download, free and always will be, as somebody once said about a social networking site. I think it was Mark Zuckerberg, or maybe it was his marketing people. Anyway.
But I thought it would be really fun if you were to, for example, take some of the podcasts and edit them with podcasts, you know, like interviews from wildly different periods of time. That might
time chopping
each other interesting in way. Yeah,
time slicing. Travel. Yeah.
Time slicing. Okay,
we can do with like that. We'll just actually have a listen to our guru on that matter.
To set the record straight, however cool you think it might be to have an out-of-body experience floating over your house, flying through space, traversing the past, present, and future, let me tell you, it'll never be as cool as being in the one you now have. Walking barefoot in the grass, floating on the sun-drenched pool, or dancing alone in the dark. You so fly the universe. Trust me, from here, getting into body is considered the most sacred of all sacreds.
And if you're out of body at present, dear listener, that's okay, but we suggest that, you know, it helps if you get back into body as far as possible. It's out of body experience. I notice your parents.
I love listening to the Mike Dooley recordings now. Sometimes I like listening to them for those moments when he utters the phrase that I never wanted to hear the universe whisper to me. And in this case, that would be hearing the universe in the personage of Mike Dooley say, "You so fly." Hmm. I could have lived forever and been okay without that.
But we do, though. That's the important thing, you know. It's as if. Anyway, Kaylee, any little thoughts or questions you'd like to put to Phil Dearness before we go off to talk about shows and such like stuff, and then we'll see you again in 2014.
No, you won't this time. I'll be back.
Yeah,
that's just the one.
There we are. Anyway, onwards.
No.
Ed.
I think you should be quite grateful he said 2014. Most people get sent out of here saying, "I'll see you in 2020. So you've done well.
And there was, of course, the legendary laid-back version.
The Cone Zone with Ed Wellman on Siren 107.3 FM. Not so much a drive-time show, more state of mind.
Yeah. It's a Hannibal Lecter, isn't
it? Alex, since it was picked that I'm director, I would be remiss if I did not encourage people to go visit the website for the film that I will be directing.
Do you know, I felt that was what he... I honestly thought Kaylee was going straight to the point and say, go to the Lady Killers. We need to find out about the Lady Killers and how you, yeah, that's you, dear listener, can actually invest in the Lady Killers and actually have a slice of sheer wonderment as part of Lady Killers' magic that's actually there. Help the creative genius that is the Lady Killers develop. Anyway, over to you, Phil.
For an independent film, all these things matter. People making small donations matter. People liking films on Facebook. People following them on Twitter. This is really important. I can't stress enough how much each of these things really does matter for the success of a film. So I hope people will take the time to go read about this very delicious dark comedy, read about the really amazing actors we have in the film, and watch, quite frankly, what is a delightfully wicked and fun video that I put together to promote it at theladykillersmovie.com. Theladykillersmovie.com.
Did you get that, Kaylee?
I did.
What's the web address again?
Yeah,
yes, I know. Short term memory.
Write it down.
It's like a goldfish in the studio. It's amazing.
Come again.
You know, it's run it past us one more time, Phil. That web address
just
is, of course, yeah, for Kaylee and her fellow Sunderland folk in the world.
The Lady Killers Movie.com.
Nice. You see, that's it. That's, you know, you can do it. It's a teaching experience. Ed might sort of attest to this. You can ask a student, "Have you got that?" "Yeah." "Are you sure you got it?" "Yeah." "Yeah." "Well, show me." But, state of education.
Is it the Lady Killers or the Lady Killers?
Ah. Very critical. Very critical
view.
It is
crucial to know this.
Critical in every sense of the word. Well, no time to actually squeeze in any music, so that's Paul Weller gone for Burton yet again. Anyway, we still need to throw those last two questions to Phil Leonis. Go, Ed!
Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the midweek drive today?
Of course, Mr. Wellman.
Thank you, Mr. Leonis. And can we look forward to doing this with you again, perhaps a week from today?
A week from today would be excellent.
Oh, good man.
Maybe Charlotte Fortune might be around hanging, waiting for the
telephone. She's still waiting for the call in a week.
She's still waiting for a call in the Hollywood Hills. I don't know. Pete Seeger moment. I'm going to continue to say Alana Rain will be back with us next week. We'll see you again midnight Los Angeles time if you're over in that kind of the world, or indeed 4 p.m. in Australia time if you're in that side, with a whole heap of other goodies there. Have you enjoyed the show, Kaylee?
I have, yes. Definitely.
Good. Can you remember the show, Kaylee?
I can't.
Well, Cameron Tilbury, Anna Maria Lewis, Suzanne Watkins, Hayley Tamerton, Michelle Monroe, Rachel Werby, and Phil Leonis, we salute you all. And you, dear listener, it's time now to say something very important, Kaylee. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah. Come on up. Can we all say goodbye?
I'm not
a one, a two, a three.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Yay.